I think as pretty much everybody has heard the story of David and Goliath. The story starts, though, before you get to the story of David and Goliath, the story goes back, and I'm recapping a little bit from last week, even though I wasn't here. The story starts with a family. David was the son of Jesse. Everyone say son of Jesse. He was placed in a family, and Jesse is a hero. Although he's not talked about an enormous amount, David was always known as the son of Jesse, and Jesse was the one who taught David everything. He was the one, he was the father, the old guy in the background, the one that they teased, but the one who created the culture around his boy so that David would become the man that he was going to become. David didn't arrive on the scene from nowhere. He was the son of Jesse. I'll say son of Jesse. I'm an old man to be Jesse. No, an old man, not a young child. I mean, an old man. David found him to the bench. You know what I mean? An old man. Is that okay, David? Is that right? Did you hear what I said? I said old man. Yeah. You can come if you want to come. I mean, you don't have to come. Get out of here. You love family services, don't you?
Yeah, I really love family
services. You see, what's lovely. You see, there's nothing wrong about being older, is there? It's just a sign of maturity. And Jesse got to that time of maturity, and he had his boy. Now, I need a boy. I need a boy. But I need them to be a bit older than just a boy. I need them to be a bit older. Now, there are two in blue t-shirts. Do you want to both come? Both come. Obviously, I'm going to have to choose between you. Yeah. Because if I can have little names, what's your name? Tim and... Fantastic. That's great. It's a funny name. That's good. So, Tim and John. Now, one of you's got to be David, one of you's got to be a brother who... In fact, you're going to be the older brother because you're just shorter. So, you stay there and we'll get rid of you in a moment. So you become David. Now, here's your dad, Jesse, who brought you up in a certain way. Now, here's a picture of David on the screen. And you can see on the screen that this is the famous things that David carried around all the time. A bit like Josh, he always had his guitar around his neck. He had his lyre. And he had the staff, and then you can also see he had the sling, because he was the shepherd. He was the one. And he was trained by dad to be the shepherd boy. He was the shepherd boy who... Dad, how to protect the sheep, how to guide them, how to lead them, and also how to protect the sheep from evil. He's also, because Dad taught him, he gave him his first instrument when he was a kid. He taught him, gave him, he said, you sing, and he noticed that Jesse saw the gift in David, and he said, no, you keep singing, because when you sing, kind of things that are fearful just kind of disappear. You bring peace when you sing. There's another story in there about David's singing ability. But he was part of a whole series of brothers, and there were, in fact, there were seven older brothers. And there was this, what was different about David? What was different about David that meant that when Samuel came along, the prophet Samuel, that he saw David and said, oh, God said, this is the one. I wonder whether it's these things, that David was equipped in some way, but there's something about what Jesse and Simon did to David that made him different from his brothers. Maybe he was trained in a certain way that would help him later on in life. And maybe he was humble. I mean, he was the smallest. I don't know, anyone who's the third or fourth or the fifth or the sixth kid, the bottom kid. Yeah, we get our hand-me-downs, don't we? We didn't own anything for years, did we? We just had their clothes. Imagine you were the eighth son. You just learn how to be from the bottom up. You just learn. You're the last to get fed, aren't you? If you're the bottom son. So he learned what it was to be humble. I think that maybe was part of it. And he was also a man who had learned to trust in Yahweh. Jesse had sown into David's young life an idea that there was Yahweh was on his side. That he was always with Yahweh, even when he was out in the fields. Yahweh would be his God, and he would be saved. So when a bear attacked him, or when a lion attacked the sheep, he would be able to defend himself because Yahweh, the Lord Almighty, was with him. So God chose David. amongst all his brothers, even though they were handsome and taller than him. So you can go sit down, handsome and tall. And he was anointed. Anointed is a key word. Messiah means anointed one. He was the anointed one. Now, of all of the people of Israel, to be someone special, set apart to be someone special. But there was already an anointed one. Does anyone know his name? It's on there. Saul. Everyone say Saul.
Saul.
Saul. Saul. And Saul was tall and handsome. Okay, now I'm looking. Okay. He stood head and shoulders above everyone else. If you're sitting next to someone who you think is reasonably handsome, reasonably tall, and stands head and shoulders above, just give them a nudge right now. Put their hands up on your hands. Yeah, okay, in the red shirt. Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, it wasn't just your wife who pointed out your handsomeness. But there was a flaw in Saul. There was a flaw. Sorry about this. There was a flaw in Saul, and Saul didn't have the same security as David. David was smaller, maybe less significant, and yet he had a greater security in Yahweh than Saul did. Saul had a great insecurity. And he may have been told from a young age that he was the one. He was the tall one, he was the handsome one. And he may have stood out above everyone else and been chosen to be captain of the team again and again and then. But deep inside him, he was deeply insecure. And there was this story, because Saul's kingdom, this is a picture of Saul's kingdom, and you see that this is where Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and the cities of Israel are on that kind of top bit. That's the lands that's all kind of raised up. The mountains go up, and then they go down to the river valley beneath. And that's where Saul camped out. That's where his land was. That's where he was strong. And the Philistines, they came across from Crete, and they were sailors, and they came a bit like the Vikings. They came in from the sea, and then they took territory from the coastal plains, and then they wanted to get up to the strongholds of the higher ground, which is what you want to do when you're an invading army. You want to get to the top of the ground. So they came up, and they kept just coming. The Philistines kept coming up. And so there was battle after battle against Saul and the Philistines. And of course, there was one time when they got really close to Saul's camp. In a valley, and they stood either side of the valley. Should we read the scripture together? Are you ready for the scripture now? So here's 1 Samuel 17. I noticed that very few of you bring your Bibles with you. Yeah, that's true. It's very few of us bring our Bibles. Maybe we can change that over the next few years. We can more and more of us bring our Bibles with us in church. Anyway, 1 Samuel 17. Now, the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Succoth. Soko, I don't know how you say that in Judah, but there it is, over on that side. In Judah, they pitched their camp, the Philistine camp, at Ephes Damim, between Soko and Azekah, which is over there. And Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah, in the middle, and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites the other, with the valley in between. Do you get the idea? Do you get the picture? It's fantastic, isn't it, what Google can provide us with nowadays? It's fantastic, isn't it? You can see how the Philistines are on the side and the Israelites on the other. And a champion called Goliath, who was from Gath. Everyone boo. Nothing wrong with Gath, but you know. Came out from the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits in a span. 6'9" or maybe taller. Maybe some people think he was 9 foot tall. You know where this is heading, don't you? He had a bronze helmet on his head, wore a coat of scale armor and bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod and its iron point weighted 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. He must have been absolutely huge. We need the tallest man in the room. We need the tallest man in the room. Who's the tallest man in the room? Okay, so if you're sitting next to the tallest man in the room, okay, just put their hands up, because there's definitely a tall man there. There's two tall men, the black shirt and the yellow shirt. Would you like to come to the front? I've got to find out which one's the most ugly between the two of you. Yeah. Yes, keep walking. That's fine. The black t-shirt. I just want to see whether you're taller.
Yeah, whoa.
There's a bit of a competition, isn't there? Which one? See, we need. You both look like Mike and I, don't you? That's just David and Nigel. You can't get your David, so you can go sit down. What are we talking about? 6'3", but we need to add a bit. Would you like to stand on top of that? That's fantastic. Just give me a sort. You are. Okay, go on. Okay, David. Okay, David. Okay, that's your line. Okay, David. You are? Good. Okay, so we've now set the scene. In the background, we've got Jesse. We've got David in the foreground. We've got Saul in the background, too, because he's part of this story that there's something deeply insecure about him. And then we've got the wonderful David and then the horrible boo. Oh, no, you don't. Guys stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why don't you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I were to come and kill him, you will become one of our subjects and serve us." And then the Philistines said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing this, the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were
dismayed and
terrified. Yeah, we know what that feels like, don't we? We do, don't we? And it's very easy in these stories to kind of put ourselves in the David canvas of the story. It would be like David. But most of the time we're actually like Saul. There's deep insecurity in us. And when a giant comes up in front of us, we actually feel scared. We feel nervous. It could be a world, it could be in our health situation, it could be facing something right now in our lives. As you come to church without even realizing that actually deep down you're anxious, you're terrified of something. This goes on, it's not something that just goes away. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse. Everyone said Jesse.
Jesse.
He loved Jesse. And Jesse really is mentioned here. He's one who trained and gave David everything he had. There was from Bethlehem. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was very old. There you go. Jesse, 3 younger sons and fellow soldiers of war. The first one was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So he's going backwards and forwards to Bethlehem, down to front line, backwards and forwards, delivering. It says in the Bible, it says that he delivered cheese. Goat's cheese. Isn't that sweet? He had a bag of goat's cheese. Get them backwards and forwards with bread and goat's cheese. Humble, equipped, and resourced. But for 40 days, the Philistine, 40 days, that's a number, isn't it? Ever been in a wilderness for 40 days? For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. And whenever the Israelites saw the man, they fled from him with great
fear.
And we're in that camp, aren't we? This is us, so much of the time. Fear is, well, it's one of the unspoken emotions of our lives. We carry it around inside our bodies, and it beats out us sometimes. Literally, it beats out us, doesn't it? You understand what I'm saying? It's like perspiring out of fear and anxiety. And there's a knot inside our tummy, or it becomes a thing inside our heads that just stops us speaking or being our true selves. Have you ever felt that feeling of fear where you can't be yourself like you're made to be? Fear is all around. It's in this building as much as it's in any other building. And even when we come into Christ, even when we come into Jesus, very often we bring our fear with us. It's one of the first things that he wants to deal with. You know what? One of the most regular things that God says in Scripture is do not fear. It's one of the things he wants to deal with this morning, I believe. And here's a man, a young man, growing up in the ways of the Lord. And so he goes, because he doesn't have this in him, for some reason. There was something about what Jesse did in him, a word to dad to the room. There was something that you can do to help your kids to become people who are not afraid in the face of chance. There was something in Jesse that did in David, that David meant that he wasn't frightened. And when the army were going, ooh, I'm a bit worried. David went to Saul, and he went to Saul and he said, I'll go and fight the guy. I'll go and fight him because I'm on the Lord's side. And this is how it goes. Because here he is, David, the son of Jesse. David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be the like one of them. Because he has defied the armies of the who? This is actually a story about two gods fighting each other. The champion of the Philistine represented all his gods, and here is this young man who represents Yahweh, the living God. The Lord, he says, who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go now. But because he was insecure, he could only do the things that he would do as a king. He could only act out in the way that he would do. You know what this is like when you're insecure? You give people permission to do stuff, but you can't do it in the way that you would do, from your place of nervousness or anxiety or insecurity. And so he projects on his insecurity onto David. And so he gives him all his outfit, his uniform, his armor. And so Saul dressed David in his own tunic, he put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over his tunic and he tried walking around. Can you imagine this guy's armor on top of David walking around with this stuff, just kind of lumbering around. And he couldn't, because he was not used to, I can't go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he takes them off. He doesn't want to be burdened by Saul's insecurity, so he takes off David's and Saul's armor, reveals his vulnerable heart. And then what does he take with him in his hand? He takes what he was given as a child. He takes the staff in his hand. And he chooses five small stones. He has some small stones. Comes to those. From the riverbed, he takes five small stones and from the stream, he puts them in his pouch in his shepherd's bag along with his sling in his hands, and he approaches the Philistine. So we're going to move this way. You come over here. Are you ready for this? You got the idea, that's it. Don't hold back, you know. No, don't do it. Yeah. So he's helped. Where did he get this from? He got it from? He got it from the humble Jesse, who we only know his name. Dads, you invest in your children. Now's the time to invest, because there's going to be a day when they get a giant in front of them and they're going to need the stuff that you gave them. Mums, do the same. Invest in your children. Now's the time. So he was equipped and he was trained and he was humble. Was he humble? In himself, he knew he was anointed, but he was humble before God. Yahweh was his king. Was full of pain. So meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming close to his David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy. Excuse my accent, but that's how they talk to those men. Coming with help and handsome. And despised him. And he said to David, am I your daughter that you cut me with sticks? Holding his staff in his hand. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now, who's going to win? His God, small g, or Yahweh? The Philistine, all his strength and size, used all the power that he can sum up. He sums up all the names of the irrelevant gods in the world. Money, power, authority, family, all the gods that we strive after. Nothing in the face of Yahweh. Come here, he says, and I will give your flesh to the most. He says, I'm going to give away your body to the birds and the wild animals. But David, now he's a bit cheeky, but David. David says to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Everyone say, Lord Almighty.
Lord Almighty.
Almighty. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord, Yahweh, will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses, not just of your body, but of the whole Philistine army, to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards him. That's an interesting line, isn't it? What do we do against our fears? Most of us running away from them. But the scripture teaches us that David ran towards the fear. Why? Because Yahweh was on his side. Anyone with fear in the room? I give you permission to run towards your fear. Yahweh is on your side. Yahweh, the Lord Almighty, is on your side. The fears will not win. So he runs towards the battle line to meet him, reaching into his belly and taking out the stone. He slung it and it struck the Philistine on the forehead and the stone. He's not even looking. The stone sank into his forehead, poor guy, and he fell face down to the ground. Help you. Anyway, you want to. Oh. Very delicately done. Thank you so much. He's reacting.
Thank you, God.
So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this story speaks to us again today. It's a story we know as David and Goliath, but it's not really a story just about David and Goliath. It's a story about Yahweh and other gods. The Lord Almighty is our God. Strength will rise as we upon whom?
The Lord.
Anyone full of fear this morning? Strength rises as we wait upon the Lord. Saul, in all his insecurities, we could see in this young man that there was a truth inside him that said, the Lord is with you. Go, the Lord will be with you. And David, who had learned this as a young man, under his father's training, had discovered that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is not ours. If you're fighting your own battles, stop fighting your own battles. Join God in his battle. And when you fight in his battles, God will always fight for you. Do you know that song? The Lord is my shepherd. We know it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the presence of my enemies, you will anoint my head with oil. My cup shall be full. This was the song of a young man who had been trained in the ways of Yahweh. Brothers and sisters, this is our song. As we sing this song together, we're going to sing a couple of songs together now. You're ready to sing, to worship the Lord. There's an opportunity for you to come up to the front. There's some baskets at the front full of stones. These are your weapons. I want you to take are saying, if you've got fear in your life this morning as a father, as a mother, as a grandparent, as an employee, as an employer, if you've got an anxiety about work, if you've got an anxiety about your health, if you've got whatever your anxiety, whatever your battle is this morning, when you're a child or when you're an older person, come forward and pick up your stones from God. And these are your pockets all week. We're going to pray with these after we've sung together.